Everyone say instead. Last week we talked about the fact that, and we were reminded of the idea that we were actually created for instead. Amen. We were not created when God created mankind. We were not created for sin and shame and guilt and condemnation and addiction and all the things that we think that that's just what comes naturally, even though because of sin, it now comes naturally. But you and I were created instead, the Bible says, for the glory of God. Amen? And what we want to do is find that instead in every moment, in every decision, every part of our lives. We're going to dig into another instead this morning. I'm going to read Romans chapter 14 and then Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to dig into it here today. Man, you guys ready to get into the word this morning? Let's go. Here we are. Romans chapter 14, verse 13 says, so let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead, there's that word, decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. And then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 follows this kind of same idea. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Verse 25, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Today we're going to talk about this, man, instead, encourage. Everyone say, instead, encourage. Say it one more time, instead, encourage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you for your spirit moving here in our midst today. God, I pray as we dig into your word together, Lord, that you will open our eyes, you will help us to see, God, not just some ideas, not just some philosophies, not just some theories, but Lord, I pray that you will help us to see you and to hear you. Lord, let us have a deep, powerful, and transforming encounter with you as we look at the word together this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that that great transfer that will that can only happen by the power of the Holy Spirit today, God, let it take place in these few moments. God, whether here in the sanctuary, God, whether in living rooms, Lord, and around kitchen tables, God, wherever we're joining in worship today from. Lord, I pray, let the words that are delivered here this morning, God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that as they leave this pulpit, God, that as they get into our hearts, Lord, you will transform them into the very word that nourishes our soul this morning, that we individually, each and every one of us, need to know and to hear from you. In Jesus' name. Put your hand on your belly right now. Repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Man, how many of you guys, how many parents, let me see your hands real quick. Parents, all right. How many parents have celebrated those moments where that child, how many can remember your kid taking those first few baby steps? Amen. How many remember that? Isn't that just amazing? It's an amazing moment. It's an amazing moment. It's a scary moment. It also means that now you've got to close all your cabinets. You've got to keep everything locked up. You know that, I mean, honestly, man, I've got kids. I got four kids in my house all the way from the ages of 16 and 5. You know what's amazing? It's kind of every stage, I've realized this, every stage of parenting, every stage of raising kids, some of you older ones that have been through this, you're like, yeah, we told you it was going to be like this, dummy. But I'm now seeing it for myself. I thought, man, when my kid starts walking and I don't have to carry him around anymore, I don't have to cart him around the little pumpkin seat, man, that's going to be a wonderful day of freedom for me as a parent. Except for what happens then is now you have to chase that little toddler around, making sure they don't electrocute themselves or find some poisonous cleaner, Clorox bleach. You know what I mean? It's like now it's just another level of stuff. You know, I shared this a few weeks ago, but our oldest Michaela now is driving, and I was thinking for years. I thought, man, once my kids start driving, what a wonderful moment that's going to be. But now, literally, I'm like, okay, text me when you leave, text me when you get there. If I don't get that text, not only am I worried, but I'm mad. You know what I mean? But I'm really mad because now you made me worry because I'm like, what are you doing? And I'm thinking about, man, what if some idiot's on the road? It's just another level of stuff. You know what I'm saying? But man, when your kids start walking around, when your kid first takes those few steps, most kids don't just take off running. They pull themselves up and they kind of toddle around, and you might be, probably every parent has done the thing where maybe you and your spouse kind of sat a few feet apart and you did this thing. Come on. You know, it's amazing too how like from the ages of like from the ages of like 0 to 2, kids are really just kind of pets, you know what I mean, that you care about a little more maybe, but they're just, because you talk to them the same way, you feed them treats the same way, you're, come on, little baby, who's a good, you know what I mean? It's like the same thing we do, right? But if that baby, as that baby takes the first couple of steps, inevitably, they're going to stumble, they're going to fall, correct? Now, how many of you great parents in here, when that baby first stumbles and falls and is learning to walk, how many of you when that baby stumbles and falls, you look at it, you go, you stupid idiot, what are you doing? Can't you walk? You just did it a couple minutes ago. What is your problem? None of us do that, right? No, when the baby stumbles and falls, what do we go? We go, it's okay, baby. It's okay. Get up. It's okay. Let's do it again. Come on. Right, that's what we do. None of us in our right mind, unless you've got something wrong with you, you have no business being a parent, would begin to yell and scream and holler and chastise and tell your baby how stupid and dumb it is. But why can't you just do it? I mean, you are 13 months old. You ought to be walking by now. What is your problem? None of us would do that. And if you did, we should probably call DCS and have your kids removed from your house, right? But here's the thing. When we as believers and sons and daughters of God constantly discourage, condemn, and chastise our brothers and sisters in Christ every time they stumble and fall, we really have to God look just like that parent who is yelling at a toddler, at a baby, making the baby feel stupid for stumbling and falling, but that's exactly what the baby does. Come on, somebody. And in this text that we read, these two texts, what the author Paul in Romans, and we're not really sure who wrote Hebrews, maybe Paul, probably Barnabas. It's really not, doesn't matter to my message. I just like to give you guys a little historical facts so you can go home and say, I learned something today. Anyway, but we don't know exactly, but in both of those texts, that's really what the idea the author is trying to say. He's trying to say, listen, stop condemning one another, stop coming down on one another, stop discouraging each other. And he's saying, instead, as believers, we should be encouraging one another, motivating one another, trying to help one another get closer to Jesus instead of constantly chastising where we are. Amen, somebody? Don't put that up yet. Ignore it if you haven't seen that. The jury will disregard. That's for later. You ever thought about, I've never been on a jury, but you ever seen like I've watched a lot of Law and Order, so I'm pretty much an expert. Like I've watched, I mean, an absurd amount of law, all the Law and Orders too. Law and Order, Law and Order SVU, Law and Order Criminal Intent. I know them all, you know what I'm saying? So I've watched like a lot. And so I probably could be a lawyer, honestly. Or detective, one of those things, because that's how much I watch. But you ever thought like when they're in the trial part and the judge is like, the jury will disregard. You ever thought, how is a jury supposed to just disregard what they just heard? Like you're just supposed to magically go, oh yeah, I just pretend I didn't hear that. Doesn't make sense. Anyway, it has nothing to do with this, sorry. Here we go. Romans 14 says, decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another to stumble. Hebrews chapter 10, 25 says, but instead come together and encourage one another. And here's what you need to understand about this idea of encourage one another. Listen to me close. Encourage one another is not a suggestion. It is a command. Okay? See, I think sometimes we make a big mistake when we look at parts of Scripture and when we look at the Bible and we look at things in the New Testament and we think, well, that's, and we sometimes look at the Bible as if it's some great suggestion that God is giving us. And I want you to understand, this is not a book of suggestions. This is not a book of stories. Although it's in there, this is not, but this is literally a book of marching orders and a command. You listen, there are different ways you can read the Bible. You can read the Bible as story and apply life principles from the different stories that you see and what God did and what people did in their lives. But something else takes place when you begin to open this book and begin to look at it not as a simple collection of stories and wisdom and ideas to help you feel better, and although that's in there as well and it can be read that way, but when you begin to read this thing as a general who's giving marching orders to an army, it begins to take on even a whole nother life and a whole new meaning. And so in both of these instances, Paul says, decide instead to live in such a way. Hebrews says, instead, come together and encourage one another. Listen, there is no if, and, or but in there. It is a command saying, this is how the people of God ought to live. Encourage one another is not a suggestion, it is a command. Therefore, listen, the church and people of God, people who are followers of Jesus, we ought to be the most encouraging place and the most encouraging people in the world. Amen. Amen, somebody. This ought to be the place, if there is any place that exists on this planet. This ought to be the place, and when we get around each other, and when we get around one another, whether it's in this building or somewhere else, this ought to be the most encouraging, uplifting, building up moments of our lives. Amen, somebody? We ought to exude, we ought to ooze, we ought to be full of encouragement if we begin to take this command seriously. And this is the purpose of why we need to be encouraging instead of discouraging, encouraging instead of condemning. If you read, I'm not going to take the time to read all of Romans chapter 14, but in Romans 14, Paul is beginning to give these instructions to the church in Rome, and he begins to list the different religious type of ideas and holidays, and you got to understand that in the first century church in the New Testament, there was always this big debate between especially Jewish believers, Jewish Christians, and non-Jewish Christians. So you had very religious people from the Old Testament who were followers of Jesus, and you had completely non-religious, non-Old Testament people who were also following Jesus, and there was always this clash between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it was how much of the Old Testament, how much of the law, how much of Moses are we still supposed to adhere to, and how much of the law do we force upon these new people who have no idea about Moses, no idea about the Ten Commandments, no idea. And there was always this rivalry almost of, well, the Jewish people, they would still observe all the Jewish holidays and the feast and lots of the law and all those things. And you had these Greek and Roman and non-Jewish people following Jesus who didn't know anything about that. And they're like, man, I'm not celebrating that. And then these people who are used to eating different types of foods than Jewish people ate. And they were used to celebrating in different ways and doing different things than the Jewish people did. However, they had become followers of Jesus too. And there was this idea that they were always battling back and forth. And in Romans 14, Paul begins to address that. And he begins to say, listen, it's not about the holidays that you observe. It's not about the food that you eat anymore. It's not about crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's anymore. Paul is saying in Romans 14, stop arguing about those things. And he's saying, you, Jewish believers, Old Testament believers, if your conviction is to observe all those Old Testament laws and Old Testament ideas and Old Testament rituals, he's saying that's fine, but he's saying don't put that on other people who don't know anything about that and don't feel the same way you do. Stop condemning them for that. And in the flip side, he's saying to the other people, the you might call them the more free, whatever, the people that were maybe not as religious, not as observant of all the Old Testament, he's saying to them, don't make these people feel bad because their conviction, their heart is telling them to follow a little more strict path than you. Don't make them feel bad either. What he's ultimately saying is this. The purpose of the reason that we should be encouraging is because we are to find and we are to place unity in Jesus above all of our other religious differences. Unity in Christ is of paramount importance and is more important than any division that could exist between brothers and sisters in Christ over matters of religion, over matters of ideas, over matters of eating this, not eating that, praying this way, not praying that way. All the other things that can seek to divide. Paul is saying in this one simple text, and ultimately in this chapter, he says, let's stop condemning each other. And he says, instead, let's live in such a way that we will not be a stumbling block to one another. See, the problem with being a person that's discouraging instead of encouraging is that we put a stumbling block between other people and Jesus. Amen?
discouragement is a stumbling block. I love the way the Message translation says that same part about the stumbling block. It says this. It says that you don't get in the way of someone else, watch this, making life more difficult than it already is. How many know life's already hard? How many know we already deal with enough struggle? Amen, somebody? How many know we already got enough issues? I know some of you right now in this room, you're like, man, I came to church today. You have no idea. Listen, and I had a pastor used to tell us to me all the time, man, it's so true, and it's so important to remember. You have no idea what it took the person sitting next to you to get out of their bed and brave the world and come into this house of worship and have this moment where they're trying to connect to God. You have no idea the struggle that the person next to you might be going through. And God help, man, am I preaching this today or what? I mean, this just come down to me this morning, man. I didn't wake up saying I was going to come here and yell at you guys for 30 minutes, but it might come out that way, and I'm sorry if I do. Listen, I'm really not sorry. God help us if as people who are supposed to love Jesus and follow Jesus, we make it more difficult for someone to know Jesus, encounter Jesus, and know God because we are so wrapped up in our own way of thinking, in our own ideas, in our own convictions that we are putting other stuff, we are becoming a stumbling block. And so what Paul is saying is, listen, we have got to decide instead of being discouraging, instead of discouraging people from getting to Jesus, we better encourage people to get to Jesus. Remove the stumbling blocks. Quit arguing over silly things that don't matter. The important thing is Jesus Christ died on the cross for your and mine sins, rose from the dead, and offers new life for you and for me, and we are all trying to get as close to him as we possibly can. Let's go. So to get to that point, we've got to get this in our heart if we're going to be that kind of instead. Here's where we got to be. We got to recognize that winning people to Jesus is greater than winning people to our way of thinking. Winning people to Jesus is greater than winning people to our way of thinking. Let me see if you'll still amen after this. Because what I hear, and I'm not necessarily talking about this church, but what I just hear in the world, in our culture right now, where things are so divisive, things are so toxic. What I hear even from Christian leaders, people who are supposed to be leaders in the kingdom, are statements like this. Well, anyone who could possibly vote for so-and-so, how can they call themselves a Christian? Anyone who agrees with this idea of policy, God, they're just an idiot, they're stupid, or even so far as say, man, anyone who would possibly vote for this candidate or for that candidate, man, they are an evil person who's seeking to ruin the nation and destroy God in the world. Now, how can I make a statement like that and then turn around and go, hey, why don't you come to church with me Sunday? Jesus loves you. When if you happen to think that way or view the world that way, or if you happen for whatever reason to vote for that thing or think that that thing is a big deal, and you just called me evil, stupid, and think that I'm trying to ruin the world. And now I'm going to come to church with you and know this Jesus you're talking about? No thanks, dude. If I'm so evil, why would this loving God want me? Come on, somebody. If I'm such a moron, why? How could I have a place in your family? Still got a couple amens. This is exactly what the author of Rome, of Paul, and what Hebrews is talking about here. He's saying instead of being divided and discouraging one another over things that are actually temporary and not eternal, he's saying let's encourage one another, let's motivate one another. In fact, that's what Hebrews is saying. In Hebrews, the instead, Romans 14 is kind of like the before, the hey, here's what you're doing. Hebrews 10 gives a real good example of what instead living as and not getting in the way of people. This is what that looks like in Hebrews chapter 10. This is the instead. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You know what that really says? That's really saying, and I've heard this a lot, oh boy, oh, the world is getting so bad. Oh man, I don't know if we're going to make it. I don't know if it's going to happen. America's not going to survive. The world's not going to survive. All this other stuff, man. And we might want to slow down on some of that, but here's the deal. If we really believe, listen, if I really believe that our days are short and that Jesus is coming soon and this thing is all about to break wide open and Revelation and the end times is all right at our doorstep, you know what this says? This says that we ought to be more encouraging. It says to encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. You know what I see? I see a lot of believers and Christians and church folk. I see a lot of them discouraging more people. And I get it. You're afraid. You're scared. You're unsure what's going to happen. But listen, this is the moment where the church should step up and the light of Jesus and the love of God should shine through us more than ever in this moment, family. But it's not going to happen if I'm so obsessed with getting you to think like me, vote like me, listen to the same music that I do, talk like I do, agree with all the same issues that I agree with, if that's what I want from you, instead of just wanting you to get to Jesus, it will be impossible for me to encourage you and not be a stumbling block to you. Instead, here's what Hebrews 10 says, basically. Instead of judging, discouraging, now you can put that up, now you can see this, the jury will see this now. Instead of judging, discouraging, and dividing one another, we are to come together, motivate, and encourage one another. That is our instead as followers of Jesus. Instead of being divisive, instead of judging, instead of discouraging, we are going to motivate, we are going to come together, and we are going to encourage each other. Amen, somebody? And that come together and that one another, don't stop the meeting together. Motivate one another. You know what that tells me? That tells me that my connections here in this earth, my connections to our connections to each other relationally, that is a big part of whether or not I'm going to be encouraging and also receive encouragement. Amen? Connection is a place, listen, to both give and receive encouragement. Amen? Don't miss this. This is not a selfish text. This is not a command that is selfish all about you. It does not say, come to church so that you can get encouraged and then walk out the door and don't come back again until the next time you need encouragement. It says, come together and motivate one another. Come together and encourage one another. Listen, Christian, listen, friend, listen, family, listen, if you're online, listen, no matter, I don't want you to miss this. Do not be the follower of Jesus that only connects to the body of Christ whenever you need something, and then you're not there whenever it's your turn to give something. Because the way that you need encouragement today, guess what? There's somebody else next week. Every Sunday is somebody's one day. Every Sunday is a moment for somebody one day to connect with God. And you might have the encouragement that someone else needs to make their one day moment happen. So don't be selfish and take your one day, walk out the door, and not show up till you need another one. Amen, somebody? It's a place to give and receive encouragement. It's a give and take. It's one another. We're in this together. Here we are. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10, the context, I'm not going to read all the verses there either. But if you read the verses before that and below that, you'll realize that what the author is encouraging people to do, he's really telling them, he's telling them before he gets in this, he's saying, don't give up. Don't let go of your faith in Christ. He's saying, and he goes in, he says, I know you're being persecuted. I know times are hard. I know it's tough. But he's saying, don't. He's saying, hold on to the word of God that you've received. Hold on to the faith in Jesus that you've received. Hold on to the cross. Hold on to Jesus. And then he goes right into this idea of the fact, and what he's saying, and he goes right into this idea of the give and take and the motivate one another, encourage one another. You know what he's saying? He's saying, and it tells me, and it tells you that if I'm going to hold on to Christ in difficult times, I'm going to have to be connected to some other people that can encourage me, motivate me to hold on when I want to let go. Every Sunday there's somebody watching online. Every Sunday there's somebody in this building that's thinking, man, Lord, I don't know if I can make it another week. Lord, I don't know if I can do it another day. Lord, I don't know if I can do it again. That may not be you this week, but I bet it's somebody. God, help us again. If instead of finding the motivation to make it another day, if instead of finding the encouragement to hold on, what they find is, well, you know, if you would just do this and this a little better, you wouldn't be struggling right now. Well, you know, if you would just fix this and that and this and that. Motivate one another. Encourage one another. So what are we going to do, man? You understand? Our connection here and how we connect here, horizontally, if you will, me to you, you to me, us to each other, that connection can make the difference of whether or not my vertical connection this way to him can hold on. Amen? So what's the instead? Well, instead of being discouraging, listen, we're going to encourage instead. Now, how can I be encouraging to someone? How can I be encouraging to someone that I disagree with so violently and vehemently? How can I discourage someone that I know is making the wrong choices? How can I discourage someone that where when we are worlds apart in every other avenue and area of our life except for this Jesus thing? How can I be encouraging? You know what one thing we can do? I'm going to give you a couple ideas. The first thing we can do is we can stop assuming intent of other people. Stop assuming that just because someone votes differently, thinks differently, listens to different music, dresses differently, or whatever the differently is, stop assuming that that person is an evil person hell-bent on destroying the world. Amen, somebody? Stop assuming that you can somehow miraculously know someone's intent. You can't. I would take the stance, and I'm trying in my life to take the stance of just assuming that everyone has the best intentions in mind. Now, you might do something that crosses me, that makes you mad, and I might fail once in a while. In fact, I'll probably fail often at that. But, man, I'm going to run right back to God and ask God to forgive me. Then I'm going to go to you and ask you to forgive me for assuming that you were a jerk, an evil person, or whatever. We've got to stop assuming the intent of people. If we're serious about winning people to Jesus and not just to the way that we think. Come on, somebody. So stop assuming intent. Stop assuming that everyone is evil, that looks differently than you, thinks differently than you, talks differently than you. That will help me to be encouraging. Here's the other thing I need to do. This is going to be on the screen. I want you to see this. Listen, the grace that you need is the grace that you should give. How many need grace in your life? I better see every daggone hand up. How many need grace in your life? Amen. Next week, we'll talk about being honest. Instead, be honest. All of us need grace. Justin Bradley needs grace. I'll be honest. I probably need it more than you. So if I need a lot of grace in my life, I better give a lot of grace out of my life to the people around me. Amen? That's real easy to think about. How can I encourage? How, man, they're doing the wrong thing. They're doing things that I know is wrong. Whoa, hold on, slow down. Do you need grace in your life? I sure do. You better give that person grace then. Give the grace that you need. Amen? The third thing we can do to be encouraging, to instead be encouraging is this. Really, realistically, remember that in the sight of God, we are all babies toddling around trying to figure out the steps to take. Amen? And just like that baby's going to stumble and fall, friend, you're a baby too. You're going to stumble and fall. And I know when I stumble and fall, I don't need somebody to tell me how big of an idiot I am that I fell. I need somebody to pick me up and go, it's okay. Come on, you can do it. And the person that you're discouraging, the person that you're judging, the person that you're saying, how can anyone think that way and do that and call, blah, blah, blah. Listen, they're just a baby just like you. And you might be stumbling. And they might be falling. But if they are, what they don't need is you kicking them and saying, get up, you freaking idiot. No. Come on, let's go. Let's motivate one another. Amen? And here's the other thing. Instead of discouraging, instead I'm going to be encouraging. You know what else that means? Listen, instead of discouraging, instead I'm going to be encouraging, you know what else I got to do? Instead, I've got to be encouraged. Amen, somebody? If I'm going to be encouraging, I'm going to have to find a way to be encouraged once in a while when I'm discouraged in my own life. Amen? It is really difficult to be encouraging all the time if I am so discouraged in my own spirit, in my own heart. Amen? There are going to be some times where I need to encourage the people around me, but I'm. How many ever been there where everybody's looking to you, you feel like everybody around you struggling and stumbling and falling, and you're the guy telling everybody it's okay, you're the cheerleader, but in your own soul, in your own heart, man, you're as discouraged, you're as depressed, you're as unsure and doubtful. Come on, somebody. I know I've been there many, many times. I've got to find a way to be encouraged so that I can be encouraging. Amen? I can only encourage so much if I'm discouraged in my heart and never find encouragement for myself. Okay? I can do it for a little while. I can fake it for a little while. And I don't mean that in a way that I'm being phony. I mean, I can do it. I can make it. But at some point, I've got to encourage myself. I've got to find encouragement for myself. How do we do that? How do I be encouraged so that I can be encouraging? Well, guess what? You know where you find that? In the body of believers. In your connection to your church family. In your connection to other believers. I'm talking about in connection to other believers. Amen, somebody? You find encouragement. Listen, that's I just had a conversation a couple weeks ago with somebody. I invited them to church. They're like, I don't have to go to church. What's the point of going to church? Blah, blah, blah. I said, man, when you come to church, there's something about coming together and being together with other people that are struggling the same way you are and trying to know the same God you are that brings encouragement to your life. Amen, somebody? There is an encouragement there in relationship and connection. And listen, if you're in this building, if you're watching online, listen to me close. Don't miss this. If you are not connected to a fellowship and a body of believers where you find encouragement, you find you one right now today. I would recommend this place. But if this isn't the place, find you one. And if you're in a place, if you're connected to a family or a body that you come away from there week after week, moment after moment, and instead of feeling encouraged, you feel discouraged constantly, you feel like you want to give up and quit, listen, that's not what the family of God's supposed to be. Find you a place where you can get encouragement. Find you a place where you can get motivated to take that next step. Amen? Now, sometimes you're not always going to have that. We don't have church every day. There's not going to be moments where you can't, the people aren't available. They're not answering the phone. They're not returning the text. And it's just you and your own soul and your own heart and your own feelings and your own mind. What do you do then? Listen to me. Psalm chapter 42, the psalmist David, I believe, wrote just to that situation. And he's writing this psalm, and twice he quotes, he says the same thing in Psalm 42:5 and in Psalm 42:11. He has this psalm about God and about finding God. But this is what he says. He says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again. He repeats, and then he repeats that at the end of the psalm. He says it again in verse 11. Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again. Listen, when you can't connect to your family, when you can't connect, and it's maybe your moment of discouragement hits on Monday, and it's another 6 days before you're going to connect like this again, and there's nobody answering the phone, and for whatever reason, man, what are you going to do then? This is what David said to do. He said, when I'm discouraged, I'm going to praise again. When I feel discouragement in my soul, I'm going to praise him again. Amen? I believe David was saying, listen, why am I discouraged? And he repeats it. So that means this is a recurring thing. Why is my heart sad again? I better praise again. Why do I feel discouraged right now, like I can't make it? You know what? I better praise again. Praise is the prescription for encouragement. So when you can't connect, when nobody's there to pick you up, when you need the motivation, or maybe, man, you tried and you're not finding that in the normal places and relationships and connections they normally have. Maybe that's God saying, you know what? There's an encouragement that I want to give you through a relationship with you and me that you're not going to get anywhere else. And what you need to do is block out everything else, find you a place to praise and to worship God. Turn off Q102. Turn off WBN on your way to work. Find some worship. Listen, I listen to some of that stuff once in a while, too. I'm not saying you have to all the time. But, man, if you're discouraged, depressed, sad in your soul, feel like there's, man, turn that mess off. Find you some worship music. Amen? Look up these songs that we played right here this morning. If you need them, I'm going to post these today, this afternoon. Can you do that for me? We're going to post these on our Red Life page, just these three, so you'll know exactly where to go. Man, these three strong today. These are just three. I'm just saying, there's lots of them. Man, get them in there. Find you a place of praise. Stand all over this place this morning. I just want to take a moment. Can you hear me? I feel like I'm not in the house. Give me a.
I might have pulled something loose. I want to take a second. I just want to encourage you. I just want to speak some encouraging words over you this morning. As we end this time together, amen. You know, I really just feel like somebody just needs to hear this today. Listen, somebody, you need to hear this morning. Number one, it's okay. God still loves you. God has not abandoned you. God is not mad at you or upset with you. God loves you with a never-ending love. And friend, let me just encourage you, there is nothing you can do to run away from that love. Listen, it's so crazy how the God who created the universe with his words, he spoke light, be, and it was. He spoke everything that we exist in. God spoke it into existence, including the very life that we live right now. God created it with his words. That's how powerful, that's how big God is. And that same God, with those same words, has declared that I will love you with an everlasting love that knows no end, that knows no limit, and that knows no boundary. And somehow we can somehow foolishly think that our sin, our issues, our mistakes, our past is somehow more powerful than the very words of God that created the very universe that we exist in. Friend, you are not that big, you are not that strong, you are not that powerful, and your mistakes are not that grave. God loves you. Your Father in heaven loves you, wants the best for you, wants to know you, and wants you to know him. And I've got some other encouraging words for you. Listen to me. I know things might seem chaotic and crazy right now, but your God is still on the throne. That Father in heaven that loves you is still in control. And we may not see how everything's working out, but God is not taken by surprise by anything that has happened in your life up to this point. Not only has he not been taken by surprise, he has the word, he has an answer, and he is working it out. I know you may not feel it, I know you may not see it, but he is working it out. So be encouraged today. Be encouraged. God's promises have not changed. God's plan has not changed. God's love has not changed. God's power has not changed. God's anointing has not changed. So be encouraged. It's gonna be okay. You can make it. You hear me? You can make it. You can do this. The same God that raised Jesus from the dead now lives on the inside of you. You can handle it. You can make it. Especially when you bow your knees and surrender your season, your heart, and your situation to that God that loves you. And in that surrender, his strength comes alive on the inside of you. Amen, somebody. I'm going to pray. These altars are open. If you're in this place this morning, and maybe the moment of surrender that needs to happen in your life is that you need to surrender to Jesus for the very first time, you can do that. You can come to this altar. You can come find me. We're going to pray. We can pray with you, man. If you're not following Jesus today, you say, man, I want to get my life right. I want to get my life right back to God. I want to get right. I want to know this Jesus you're talking about, man. That's available to you. I'm not going to lead you in a prayer this morning. I just feel like going a little different direction. But man, if you're curious about that, want to know about that, man, I will be walking around here. Come find me. Amen? Or there'll be some elders up here in just a moment. Some prayer. Come talk to them. It's available. Amen, somebody? If you need to find a place to pray this morning, these altars are open. Find it today. But this is what I'm going to pray for us, because this is the only us that I have been called in my life right now to be responsible for. Besides my home, my family, it's this right here. Listen, I want to pray for you to be encouraged, and I'm going to pray that God will make us the most encouraging place on the planet. Amen, somebody? That is something God has called this house, Red Life Church, to be and to do. Amen, somebody? So let's ask God to help us do it. Let's ask God to help us do it. Can we do that right now? Stretch your hand. Let's lift your hands. Close your eyes if you can. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, right now I speak encouragement over discouraged souls right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray beyond my words that the power of the Holy Spirit, that the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, Lord, would begin to come alive, and God would begin to just gird up inside of somebody's heart and soul and mind right now in Jesus' name. Lord, that person that doesn't know how they're going to make it, Lord, that person that doesn't know if they can even make it to their tomorrow, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, and God, speak encouragement right now of the Holy Ghost to come alive on the inside of them. Let them sense the encouragement of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, if there is any area in our lives that we are being discouraging instead of encouraging, I pray that you would show us and that you would help us, God, even if it simply means to close our mouths for a while and bite our tongues. Lord, whatever we have to do to be people of encouragement and not discouragement, let it happen, God. And I pray, Father, that you would make this house, make this family, God, make us the most encouraging place in the world. In Jesus' name. Not in some weird way, but God, because you are here and you are our encourager. And God, I pray that you, as our encourager, flows through us, God, everywhere that we go. When we come together, God, and when we leave. In Jesus' precious name. If you believe that, say amen this morning. Stretch your hands this way and receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, and the Lord give you peace in Jesus' name. If you need to find a place to praise or get prayer, these altars are open this morning. Let's worship for